have a quick survey for you. How many of you, when you find loose change on the ground, will stop and pick it up by showing your hands? Yeah, why not, right? Actually, several years ago, I don't know if I heard this somewhere, but I realized that the coins say, "In God we trust." So I pick it up and just thank God for the relationship I have with them, and it makes me think of them. But many years ago, several years ago, I found a nickel on the floor of a hotel room that may have very well been a very special nickel. I wasn't sure, but what made the nickel so special was not its date or any special markings, but where it came from. It may have belonged to a very famous person at one time. It might have even been royalty. When my wife was working at AT&T for so many years, for several years, she was in charge, oversaw collections at the city of Detroit, and she would go up there about every 5 or 6 weeks to try to collect on their incredibly overdue delinquent bills. I think in the millions. One year, you actually collected $12 or $13 million or something like that, got an award for it. That's how far behind they were. And so I would go with her and travel with her, and we'd stay at a nice hotel, and I would study and pray while she was at her meetings, and then we would go out for dinner that evening. And it was kind of challenging. And what was challenging for her was, you know, this was the city of Detroit. The water department, the police department, the fire department, you know, if you can't disconnect their phone. Can you imagine having an emergency and dial 911 and...
"We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service."
So there was challenging for Chris to have to deal with that. But since the meetings were in downtown Detroit, it was not a very safe area. So the phone company approved her staying at a very upscale hotel where it was safer, right in Greektown. And so, as I said, I would go, and we'd go there, and I'd pray and study, and then we'd go out. And she didn't have to ride back and forth. The rooms are very nice, typically a suite with a desk, nice upscale hotel. So one day, I took her up, I dropped her off in a meeting, and I headed to the hotel. And I got there, and our room wasn't ready, so I started waiting and waiting, and went back up to the desk. They couldn't be sure about it. So the manager said, "You know what? You're so faithful coming here every couple of weeks. We're going to upgrade you to a premium suite." So they did. It was nice, you know, much larger jacuzzi in the middle of the room. And except as I spent the day there, the air conditioning wasn't working that one very well. So I called the manager and went down to the desk, and we go out to dinner, and they come back and they give us another room, back to the normal size. Well, guess what? The key didn't work in that room. The air conditioning didn't work. So the manager by now says, "Okay, they're going to put us up in this massive penthouse right over Detroit. It's over 1,100 square feet. Marble foyer, two bathrooms, one with marble floors and a jacuzzi. I mean, it was amazing. Full-length windows overlooking the city with these expensive drapes. The room, I looked recently, the room cost like $1,100 a night." I think, my goodness, I'm not sure who spends $1,100 a night in a room, but it must be some of the lives of the rich and famous, maybe even royalty. So I sat there one day in the chair in the bedroom, and under the dresser, I spot this nickel. I'm thinking, this is probably from a former famous guest that was in this room. Somebody who could afford to spend $1,100 a night to stay in a room, right? I mean, then again, it could have fallen out of the pocket of the cleaning person or something. I don't know. But either way, it was a nickel, and it was still only worth 5 cents, right? That's it. So, and while the room was very nice, it was just a room. We went in there a half hour, and our daughter Kelsey was in college at the time, and she called, and somebody had broken into her dorm room and stolen her laptop, and, you know, we're like ready to leave. You know, it didn't matter how nice the room was. If our kids needed us, we were going to be there. We finally calmed her down, and things were fine, you know. And so, while I tell you this little story, it's interesting how we see the rich and famous, the privileged, how special they can be. We sometimes see these people as different from us. And if we're not careful because of their wealth or their position, we might even think they're better than us. They've accomplished more. And when we do that, we're measuring them by the world's standards and not God's standard, how God sees them. And a lot of people will go through life with less than a healthy outlook on who they are, where they fit into the body of Christ, or where they fit in life. You know, and your self-esteem may not measure up to what the Word of God says about you. So I think every once in a while, it's good to have a little refresher on who we are in Christ. We need to see ourselves as God sees us. Now, apparently Peter, the impetuous, impulsive disciple, eventually matured significantly in the Lord, because it's Peter who helps us get our identity in Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1, he's writing to the believers and who have lived in foreign lands. And just like today's believer in Christ, living in a world that we don't belong to. We live in earth, but we're seated in heaven if we know Christ. So I think it was 2 Peter, I said 1 Peter. But he's writing to the ones that are living in foreign lands and speaking to them. And he writes about what Jesus did for us and them on the cross. And he exhorts us, as we read it, to set aside our former way of life. He reminds us that we're redeemed from an empty way of life handed down to us from our forefathers. And he begins to clarify their value. He begins to clarify your value by showing that you were bought with the precious blood of the Lamb. He tells us that through Christ you are born again with imperishable seed, that your salvation is for an eternity. He says you are, if you will, an incredible value to God. God paid a very high price for you. In the second verse of chapter 2, Peter tells us that we desire the milk of the Word to grow in our work. Then through the leading of the Holy Spirit, he identifies Christ, defines Christ, if you will, but you as well. 1 Peter 2. Coming to him, Jesus, as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Peter, speaking to New Testament believers, speaking to you, calls you a holy priesthood. Now, a lot of this is lost on us today. We really don't seem to have the same appreciation of priesthood as the original hearers did, the readers did. Even in our society, in our lifetime, many have changed the way they look at the clergy. Christianity Today put out an article just recently citing a Gallup poll. I don't know, it doesn't really show up very well on the chart there. But since the late 70s, early 80s, the clergy's credibility went from around 80% to 32% today. We've lost our credibility. In my parents' generation, priests and clergy were portrayed as good. The Father Flanagan's, the movies like Boys Home, and all the things they did well. And so we need to read 1 Peter in light of how the original readers did when Peter wrote it. They knew what a privilege it was, what an honor it was, the priesthood held in God's eyes and theirs as well. If you were with us last week, you remember we looked at the Levitical priests and that enter the Holy of Holies only one day a year on the Day of Atonement. And we looked clearly at that. And we said, what an incredible honor and privilege to be the only one to go behind the veil into the presence of God. The high priest stood in a very special place before God. Scripture and the people both recognize this honored position. Even Jesus, when he healed the 10 lepers, he told them to go and show yourself to the priest. He may have had direct confrontation with individuals and their practices and their integrities, but he didn't have a problem honoring the office of the priest. He gave the office honor. And we saw as well how Jesus has finished work on the cross, enabled us to go behind the veil, to go into the Holy of Holies. That when Christ died, the veil was torn in two. And we look closely at that. And Peter, led by the Holy Spirit, is giving you a very special and unique honor. And not only did he call you a holy priest, but I'm not sure if you caught it, he called you the same thing he called Jesus, a living stone. Verse 5, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. And he's referencing the prophet Isaiah in chapter 28. Therefore the Lord God said, look, I have laid in Zion, a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. The one who believes will be unshakable. And the metaphor here is that the temple of God is being built of stones, permanency, with Jesus as the chief cornerstone. Everything is foundation is found in Christ. And that you are part of this holy stone, if you will, this holy building, this spiritual house of God, part of his dwelling place. You are a living stone, with Jesus being the chief cornerstone, made alive by Christ. And Peter called us three things: a living stone, a spiritual house, and a holy priesthood. And all three of those have other scriptural references that are really significant. But it gets even better. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are chosen. God has chosen a new race of people called Christians. And you're part of that. You are a royal priesthood. It's kingly in nature. You belong to the king's family. You belong to the king. You're holy, which means blameless, consecrated, set apart to God. You're part of a nation of the people of God. And he says you're special. King James says peculiar. You're purchased. You belong to God. You're unique in knowing Jesus Christ. And then, verse 10. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Hallelujah, Jesus. And the language here in verse 9 and following appropriates the Christians to us believers, New Testament, the promises of the Old Testament. He's quoting a lot from the Old Testament. He's bringing it in to remind us of how God sees us. Exodus 19, for example. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my commandment, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a king of a priest and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. I mean, there's so much happening here. And what he's saying to us, and we catch that last part, these are the words that you speak to the children of Israel. Can you imagine a child growing up being edified with this kind of stuff, how they would see themselves? These are the things we should be speaking to our children and our grandchildren, how God sees them, how blessed they are, how much he loves them. And then consider as well, he speaks of Isaiah 43:1. These people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. And 1 Peter 2:9 says, you were once for not a people, but now you are. And this is a theme of God's intention all along. Tie all this together and you begin to get a picture of how God sees you. And I suspect it might be a little different than how you see yourself. But God doesn't stop there. In a wonderful book, the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 5 and following, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And he made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The beginning, the middle, and the end of the word of God confirms you're a royal priesthood before God, confirms your uniqueness in Jesus Christ. You are to reign with Christ over all of your life circumstances. And the Bible proclaims that you're reigning with Christ, seated with Christ, right now. When God would open a dictionary in heaven and look up chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, his own special people, he would see your picture right next to that, because that's how he sees you. And as a priest unto God, you have the rights, the privileges, and duties. As a believer in Christ, as we've said, you have the privilege or right to enter the Holy of Holies, to come right into God's very presence. The Old Testament Israelites had to wait outside while the high priest went into the Holy of Holies. They went before God's presence. In fact, the Old Testament saints were afraid of God, afraid of his presence, but dare not even think about it. But now, God wants you to know and understand his presence. He wants you to know what it is to be in his presence, to know who he is. He wants you to be accustomed to him and his presence so that you can know him and ushers others with you before him. And as your priestly duty, you are to, according to 1 Peter 2:9, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You see, it's a wonderful thing to be a holy priest before God, but part of that is praising him and proclaiming as well how glorious he is. To show forth and declare the one who brought you out of darkness into light. And that's what he wants us to be doing. And God doesn't look at you as some commoner, as somebody who only deserves second best hand-me-downs. No, you're like the high priest, he said, if you will, to come before God. God doesn't look at you as someone who waits outside while the important ones, the special people, the royalty, go before him. And I believe that God puts far more honor and privilege on you than you ever will. You need to see yourself as God sees you. God says, the penthouse, that's nothing. You belong in the Holy of Holies. See, we ooh and ah over the trappings of this world. All the while, God is calling you and me before the very throne of God. Compare the greatest penthouse you can imagine to God's throne room. Wow. So look at verse 9 again, 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are so that you will proclaim who he is. Along with privilege comes responsibilities. You are the one who's supposed to proclaim God and God's greatness and blessings to your entire world. Now remember verse 5? 1 Peter 2:5, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. There's a twofold ministry, if you will, that God's people are being called to offer spiritual sacrifices to God and then declaring his wonderful deeds, his excellencies, his praises of who he is. The Old Testament sacrifices were animals. In fact, they were dead animals by the end of the sacrifice. New Testament sacrifices are different. Living stones present living sacrifices. And so when you see how God begins to see you, then Romans 12 becomes a little clearer. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Deeds done in your bodies, deeds done in your daily life, is worship to God when it's done before God. And not just verbal worship, but actions, deeds. Deeds and actions that are far different from the world, to walk at a different standard than the world does. Look at Romans 12. I love the way the Message puts it. It'll help us. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Wow, what a beautiful description. As you live your life submitted to God and his will for you, your life begins to proclaim God's goodness to everybody around you. This doesn't mean that you don't verbally proclaim God's goodness. You do. But this takes it beyond just your verbal proclamation. It's like what you're proclaiming is showing up in your life. We've all seen those who verbally proclaim God's goodness, but their lives and their witness don't. That's not the life we're called to. And the result is what? The world sees them as hypocrites. May never be said that of us. And I think Hebrews 13 says it best. 13:15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that openly profess his name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for such sacrifices God is pleased. Lift up your voices in praise, but let your actions do the same, if you will. And the true role or profession of a New Testament priest is ongoing. You're never off duty. And as a priest unto God, in fact, a royal priest, you have special privileges. If you were to study the priesthood in the Old Testament, if you will, it reveals that as a priest, one, you have access to God, you. Secondly, you can minister to the Lord. You can pray and intercede for others. You can disciple in matters concerning the faith, finding somebody who knows less than you and find somebody who knows more than you and walk both of them together in your life. You can lead an exemplary life. You can heal sickness and injuries because it says these signs shall follow them that believe. You can pray for others. You can warn of impending danger when the Holy Spirit tells you. You can repel demonic assaults, stand against the evil one, resist them, and he'll flee from you. You can proclaim the truth. You can missionize and evangelize. These were the roles and the duties of the priest that God's calling you. I remember years ago, there was this Baptist lady in Florida. She gets on a bus, and the bus gets hijacked by a man with a gun. Everybody's hiding. The old lady gets up and begins to preach. The man's hand wouldn't limp. He dropped the gun, and he was subdued. She knew who she was in Jesus Christ. Every once in a while, we need to remind ourselves of who we are in Christ. Remind ourselves of how God sees us. There are no second-class citizens in heaven. There are no second-class mansions in heaven. All the same before God, and you are a royal priesthood. And interesting enough, the wording in 2 Peter is present tense. You are a royal priesthood. Not that you will become or could be. No, you, if you know Jesus Christ, are a royal priest unto God. You have access to the throne room of God. What God wants you to realize is that you have access right now. Perhaps you may be feeling a little distant from God lately. Maybe you think God's forgotten about you. In the grand scheme of things, you're just not that important. God says otherwise. He said, regardless of where you are in life, that you can come before him, even if you need to repent. And we looked at that last week, how you come as a repentant heart before God, praise him and worship him and present your needs. But you have every honor, every right, every privilege to come into the Holy of Holies as that one high priest did. So regardless how you're seeing yourself, God says, no. No, you need to come before me and see how I see you. You have the honor and the right to go before God in prayer. And I'm just going to allow Matthew West to encourage you this morning.
What's your impossible? Your I need a miracle. What's got you barely hanging by a single thread? What looks so hopeless now? What weighs down your heart with doubt? You beg for a breakthrough, but no sign of breakthrough yet. When you've cried and you've cried till your tears run dry, the answer won't come and you don't know why. And you wonder if you can bow your head even one more time. Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees. You're Alpha and Omega knows how your story ends. When you've cried and you've cried till your tears run dry, the answer won't come and you don't know why. And you wonder if you can bow your head even one more time. Praying for the miracle, hallelujah, hallelujah and amen. Don't stop praying that addictions end. Don't stop praying for deliverance, hallelujah, hallelujah and amen. Oh, don't stop praying for the sickness healed. Don't stop praying for His power revealed.
If that song encouraged you, you can thank my wife, Chris, for it. She's the one that put it on to me. But don't stop praying. Invite the worship team to come forward, if they would, please. When Chris and I checked out of the hotel with the penthouse, we had to get the key back. You've been given the key to the penthouse and the Holy Holies. You don't have to give it back. You have every right to be there. You're important to God. You matter to God. You matter to the body of Christ. Remind yourself of that. And tell the devil that too the next time he begins feeding you lies that you're not enough, that you didn't do well enough or don't do well enough. Don't listen to lies anymore. Listen to what the Word of God proclaims about you. And see yourself humbly, but see yourself as God sees you. Let's stand together this morning and let's go into the Holy of Holies and worship. Let's stand together and worship our God this morning.